Well, checking in with me right now on KRML Jazz and Blues Radio is the host of a very popular series, Live with the Jazz Cat. The host, Leroy Downs, is with us right now, and he has a very special guest with him today, as usual. By the way, if you want more information regarding the interviews held here exclusively on KRML Jazz and Blues Radio, just go to his website, and that website is www.thejazzcat.net. It's archived. There are tons of just great interviews. If you missed them, you can go back and listen to them all. And they're all of the jazz luminaries. You want to get a little bit of an insight into some of these jazz greats. And he has another one with him today. So without further ado, let me let the jazz cat take the ball away from me.
Hey, Gary, how are you?
Hey, let me let you go and take care of that. I know you got a very busy schedule.
Well, you know, it's no matter how busy the schedule gets, I'll always slow down to experience great jazz music. And when you talk about great jazz music, this is one of the cats that put some of that music on recording, Dr. Art Davis. Dr. Art, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Good.
My goodness, you know, when you look at your discography, you know, you've played with so many great players. We were just listening to some John Coltrane, Lee Morgan, Max Roach, Booker Little, Freddie Hubbard, Thelonious Monk, It Never Ends.
Yes, I've been fortunate enough to have been selected by all the greats.
Well, that just shows that you're right there as one of the greats as well. You know, such a vast majority of the music seems to have been recorded from 1958 into the early 60s. How special was that time period for you and the music, and how does that relate to the time period we're in now?
Well, I think that's a golden period. I notice when I go into restaurants and other places, they play music of the 60s, not the current music, you know, that's going on now. So that had to tell you something. And, of course, that was very important as a Renaissance period. That's when the first man on the moon went. Also, a lot of inventions were done as the a lot of people that had liver disease and all and other kinds of disease. It was a period of seeking for new things, and that happened. It happened within music and within other subjects and all other kinds of discoveries. Very, very important. I think a decade. 50s. And of course, you could say starting with 58.
Yeah, that was a pretty critical time for me as a young man, of course, not even being born back in the 50s, but coming up and listening to music myself, that's kind of the music that period of time is one that I latched onto. And if you listen to that music today, it still sounds so fresh, so pure, so innovative, and, you know, it's just one of those different periods of time that's timeless.
Yes, and a lot of seminal recordings happened at that time, which later affected the music of today. And later, you know, particularly Don Coltrane's Mammoth Works and other people like him.
Well, you know, speaking of Coltrane, I know many people may not know this, but there are two versions of A Love Supreme or Acknowledgement, whatever you prefer. But what was the decision not to release the original version? That's the one that you appeared on. They released it, I guess, in 2002.
Yeah, there seems to be something with the management there. They had said, I don't know if you remember around at that time, that the tapes were lost. Mm. I always conceded that they weren't lost, that they'd be found one of these days. People laughed at me, mocked me, and all, and said I was saying bitter stuff, but it wasn't the case, and I kept trying to plead with people. I said, one day it will be released. Oh, no, it's gone. I was able to sustain my beliefs, and the record proved that it did come out.
Absolutely.
And then when this came out, this was reviewed as the greatest, as the greatest album ever made. That version that I'm on.
Well, it certainly is. It certainly is one of the standard classics of jazz music. And if you speak of jazz as a religion, then you know John Coltrane man, he must be quoted as the unspoken truth. But what on earth was it like to exchange ideas, thoughts, and concepts with such a master of the music? I know you spent some great time with him individually, just practicing and playing.
Yes, we were very, very close, and it was a time I tell people when they ask that, I said, I was constantly pinching myself that I must be dreaming. It can't happen to me. Little Art Davis, and here's the great John Coltrane, and I'm working with him, practicing with him, talking, conversing, and working on things. No, he picked me. No, I'm going to wake up one of these days.
Well, you and I just visited recently at a performance at Catalina Bar and Grill where Roy Haynes was playing, boy, the Fountain of Youth. And I know Roy Haynes told me, or he told the audience there, that he has some honorary degrees, but you mentioned that you earned yours the old-fashioned way.
Yeah, that's true.
So tell us about the degrees that you have as a doctor.
I went back to school because I'd gone to Juilliard Manhattan School of Music, and I was busy in the studios and working and all, and I decided to go back to school when certain conditions allowed themselves. And I started out through all New York degrees at Manhattan Community College and got an AA there, and then went to Hunter College and got a BA in music and physics. I then went to City College, and I got my master's in experimental psychology, and then was accepted into NYU for the clinical psychology program, which was extremely hard to get into. And from there, I got a master's, another master's in the clinical psychology program for working with schizophrenics, and finally a PhD. It was more experimental psychology than the current clinical psychology because it had a lot of things to do with psychophysics and all of that. So that was something that I earned. And the people that I worked with, of course, the dissertation committee didn't know who I was. They didn't know I was from the music. I never told them. I hid it until I was defending, and a person got into the program who was also a bass player, and they told him, that's very interesting. We have a double bass player that's getting his PhD. And they said, well, the student, soon to be accepted, said, well, who is that? He said, well, it's Arthur Davis. You wouldn't know him, but said, is that the Arthur Davis? And they looked at each, they told me this story, and they looked at each other, the Arthur Davis. I don't know what that means, but his name is Arthur Davis, and he told them, and they could have fallen down. But I did that deliberately to know that I can do it on my own, not for people to think that, oh, well, you know, we'll give him extra study. Advantages because he's a famous person. I did.
Beautiful. Well, you are listening to Dr. Art Davis on the show live with the Jazz Cat on 1410 AM, KRML Jazz and Blues Radio. Well, it seems like psychology and physics and music and schizophrenia are like perfect DNA for some extraordinary intricate strands of music. I mean, how is it that you dissect the music? And are there any formulas or theories that you've discovered which work mathematically within the structure of jazz?
No, I've often said, and I said to my classes as well, that somebody should do a study. There's a study which I attended, and I didn't participate, but I attended during the time of the experiment study, on listening to music, listening to Mozart. And they said that listening to Mozart would bring up higher IQs. And I've often said if they listen to jazz, it would be the same thing, but nobody's done the study yet.
Yeah, that sounds like a good study.
You get a grant, and nobody wants to give a grant for jazz, so that's something that some of these people that are making so much money that avow that they love jazz should do that, get a grant. I think it would really work.
Well, being an educator with such unparalleled experience, and since there'll never be another time period like the 50s and 60s in jazz music, what could be passed on to the younger musicians coming up that will secure the future success for this music?
Well, one thing they must do, they must listen, listen, and listen. That is, listen to the people that have gone before them, but also listen when they're playing to the people surrounding them, the other instruments as well, and strive to do the best. I guess the best they could as far as, in the case of improvisation, to think as much as they could original, try to be themselves rather than copying someone else. That's some of the elements.
Well, this is what's interesting. You know, you played in many, many different symphonies, quite a bit different from the hard-hitting edge of jazz music. And I'm sure that there's some beautiful moments that you experience in playing in some of these larger ensembles, but I would imagine that the degree of freedom is a little less in these particular environments.
That's true. Oh, true.
So as a young man playing, I guess a lot of people are learning their music in these big band orchestras, and it's so limiting. So do you suggest that the young players get together in trios and quintets and explore the music?
That's good. You know, I lament the fact that it wasn't that when I was coming up, and even when I passed that and got into professionalism, there was jam sessions. There were plenty of jam sessions. Those things are gone now, in which people could exchange ideas and work and listen and, you know, and experiment that way. There are none of those now, like there used to be. And that's a bad point. Bad. It's really bad for the up-and-coming musicians.
Well, we have to get some jam sessions happening and invite the young players and the old players, because that's what they used to do. Is all of the band leaders used to bring young players in the band, and then they both grow. The younger musicians would grow from, of course, being around the elderly statesmen, and the legends would learn something from the young cats, too.
Sure, sure.
There's something to be learned from both parties. You're listening to Dr. Art Davis right here on 1410 AM KRML Jazz and Blues Radio. Now, I read a story somewhere that in 1958, a musician slammed your finger in a taxi door right before you were supposed to play.
It was my first time with Max Roach, and we were at the Newport Jazz Festival, and we were going in the car, going to go to the festival, and the car stopped, and I saw George Duvivier, who I knew was a great bass player, and I waved at him, and Booker Little was in the front, and he slammed the door without even looking.
Oh!
Caught me on my picking finger, the main finger, the forefinger.
So one of your best friends took you out.
Yeah, and I immediately said, I'm giving my resignation because I was no good. Well, nobody took it. And so I worked and sort of helped to develop multiple fingering systems because of that. But that was something. And, Booker, of course, was so sorry.
Of course. Well, bass is definitely your instrument of choice, but it's also an acronym for a nonprofit organization that you run.
Yes. That organization is about 15 years old. Now it's not in vogue as it was, but during the time I decided to give back somehow to people that were positive oriented, and that is to say, people that had good scholarships, grades, and did other things that were well-rounded, that is, not to just be bookworms. And I formed a group, organization called Better Advantages for Students and Society, which is the acronym BASE. And a few years later, surname also, which was for nursing students and there was in the medical profession. And that way I had a lot of big name before these people that you know of had scholarships, you know, had much more money than I did at that time, but I gave as little, you know, as much as I had, which was a little amount, but it grew. And I had people like Steve Allen came for me, and just before he died about a week later, special guest, and we had Horace Silver came, Kenny Burrell, and many other people that I called, and Tommy Newsom, who was the conductor of the Tonight Show with after Doc Severinsen, he took over. He came, I knew him from NBC, and he came from Virginia. He had sort of got out of business and was happy, paid for his way, would not take anything for transportation, and with his wife, and bought food, you know, the dinners and all, and wouldn't take a living cent.
Wow, that's beautiful.
Yes, yes.
Well, that just goes to show you how many people love this music, how many people express this music, and you are certainly one that has put some creativity on this earth. So we'd like to thank you for visiting with the Jazz Cat today, Dr. Art Davis.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
Thank you, gentlemen. Leroy Downs can be heard again next Tuesday on KRML Jazz and Blues Radio for his Live with the Jazz Cat segment. And if you want more information, you can go to his website. That's www.thejazzcat.net. That'll get you all the information you need regarding future guests and all the guests that have appeared exclusively on KRML Jazz and Blues Radio on the Live with the Jazz Cat segment. Leroy Downs as the host. He always appears around 5:14 p.m. here on KRML Jazz and Blues Radio every Tuesday. We'll be right back with more. I want to thank Dr. Art Davis and certainly Leroy Downs for being on with us again today. And let's play a little bit of the Coltrane, John Coltrane acknowledgement live version, Love Supreme. This is off the album here, and we'll be right back. It's really a classic, and I think it's certainly appropriate with Dr. Art Davis. We'll be right back. live version of Love Supreme, John Coltrane, Dr. Art Davis. And I want to thank the Jazz Cat. And also, if you would like to get more information on Dr. Art Davis, the website for Dr. Art Davis really is pretty easy to get to. It's artdavis.com, also on MySpace, artdavis.com as well. So it's all there. All you have to do is go and peruse it, and it's you could be able to catch up with it right there at that particular section there. artdavis.com.